A very beautiful good evening to you all, and welcome to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. I'm your host, Ndafa. Happy Juju here to keep you company yet again on this beautiful Saturday. Well, it's a beautiful Saturday, yeah, and I have yet another interesting guest and another interesting topic, just the usual of what we have to deliver right here on Life Lessons. If we're not encouraging you and motivating you, of course, we are right there with you, whether it's in the valley or it's in the drift, you know, just feeling that pinch of life with you, and just also bringing in someone to bring in their experience and make you realize that you're not alone, and to make you realize that whatever it is that you may be going through, well, it's bound to change. And if you are in the stage where you are enjoying life, where things are going really well, well, wonderful. We are here to tell you that good things do come to those that wait. Now, it's another show on this Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. Now, tonight we're talking another topic. Okay. So I know, yes, I almost said yesterday, but anyway, last Saturday just felt sort of like yesterday. I know we're talking about if you want to quit. And and throughout my week, I was actually, there was something that I actually said, you know, when you feel like you want to quit, sometimes what you don't realize is that a breakthrough is just round about the corner. Yeah. So and I hope that message actually touched the hearts and the minds that it was intended for. Now, tonight we're talking about the journey of a mentor. And of course, I do have with me in studio a mentor himself, and we're going to rely on his journey, on his experience, on the ups and the lows of being a mentor. And for those of you maybe who have aspirations to become, mentors, or to become coach, or to become, you know, motivational speakers, or to become, of course, you can just wake up. I think you can just wake up and become a motivational speaker, man. There has to be something, you know, that drives you to it. Life must propel you to it, and life will prepare you for it with its challenges. But we'll hear from the guest himself. So who am I talking about? I'm talking about Daniel Williams. He is in studio with me tonight, and I'm very honored to have him. This show has been a long time coming, having to host him. Good evening, Daniel, and welcome to Life Lessons.
Good evening, Happy, and good evening to the listeners as well.
Sure. It's a pleasure having you in studio. I know ours has been a lifetime coming. So welcome to the show. Okay.
Right. Thank you, Happy. It's quite an honor. Yeah, you're quite right. It's been long overdue. I know how many times we try to set this up, but we're here now, hey? Good evening to the listeners as well. And we hope to really be impactful. Let's do this.
Now, Daniel, I want to ask you first and foremost, how has been your week? How has your week been like? I want to understand what a mentor's week actually is all about. So first and foremost, I'm going to ask you the first question that I normally ask the guest. So I'll start off with, how was your week? Walk us through your week.
Oh, wow. This has actually really been an amazing week.
Yeah.
I've really had a lot to grasp throughout this week, from the experiences of just, you know, stepping into boardrooms, one boardroom to the other, obviously conducting meetings. And it's been a fruitful week. I must say that God has really, really shown me what it means when one says that God's got your back. It was one of those type of weeks for me. Mm-hmm. God had my back.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Daniel. Daniel Williams.
Right.
Who is Daniel Williams, and where does the surname Williams comes from?
Oh, Happy. I tell you what, that is a long shot. So I tell you, let's start with who I am.
Yeah.
Daniel Williams is this young individual that grew up literally in the South. I had my school career in the South. That
really?
Would be, yes, that would be Kitpanswoop.
Okay.
Specifically, I know that the South would be referred to as, especially when they hear the name Kitpanswoop. I tell you, no, it's not all true. That some of it is propaganda.
Yeah.
I made it. I came from there. I made it in terms of having grown up in those dusty streets of Kitpanswoop, schooling, my school career in Kitpanswoop. So Daniel is a son that was birthed from two parents. This is now the blend of a strange mixture. My father is Angolan. My mother is Cape Colored. So where the surname originated from is literally from my mom. And this was due to, you know, back in the early 90s, let's say from the 70s, men that were from foreign countries and would come and meet a Namibian local woman, you were not entitled to certain things. You were entitled to love. Yes, it was okay for you to meet this woman and fall in love and you start a family. But one of the things that you were not entitled to was to name the kids after you if you had any children. Why? This was because of documentation. So, you know, back then it was the Southwest Africa. Namibia was Southwest Africa. So if you were a black man and even foreign for that matter, there was no way that you would have felt and fitted within that cycling of Southwest Africa. You definitely would have to be from somewhere in Africa, but definitely not Southwest Africa. So my dad expatriating from Angola into Namibia, long story short, the fear of having to have my dad deported to Angola and the possibility of us as children as well, we had to then settle for my mom's surname so that we can be registered.
This wasn't planned though. I literally, you know, the William surname is so beautiful, I must say. I was like, okay, interesting.
So that's how. With my upbringing, I remember being at school and I would always be looked at as in, this guy that is, how come he's black, but he's got an English surname, he's got a white surname. And for the longest of time, I actually shied away from that, happy to tell you the truth. I would always find a way how to dodge that conversation. Because I didn't understand it myself as well. Until at some point when I grew up and, you know, finishing school and all of that, start my career and all of that. And then I once had a conversation with my older sister. She was actually like she is our mother in the family. And we had a conversation and I asked her about her experiences. And she says, you know what? Guess what, my brother? We are the originators of that surname. What we've been told all along, that surname don't belong to us. So she did a little bit of research in terms of the roots. My mom, where she came from, you know, in South Africa, the Northern Cape, and all of that, a little bit of family background history. And then it actually came out that my mom originally came with the surname from South Africa. Yes. So that gave me a bit of an ease regarding that experience. So I never looked back from that day onwards. I would be on conversations and people would be like, oh, Mr. Williams. And until they come rock up and see me in person, they're like, oh, you're black. And I'm like, yeah.
That's me.
That's me.
Now you're rocking the surname. Love that. I love that. I really like that. You know why? Because my surname is, should I say, people find it odd.
Right.
And I rock it, like literally rock it. Yeah, like I own it, you know. No questions asked. But now we're going for a commercial break and we'll be back shortly. This is Life Lessons. Stay tuned.
So Ventuk Beer asked Namibia to be real. And we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names, and 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arnold. It doesn't get more real than that. As Windhoek, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And we are back. You are tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. I'm your host, Nafa Happy Jujun. Tonight, I have a mentor with me in studio. Yeah, he's going to be coaching us right here. So therapy session has officially, you know, started. So write down your problems and get ready to dial in studio.
Right.
Okay, Daniel. So you've been rocking this wonderful surname, Williams. Right. It's interesting. You know how interestingly today when I asked about the surname, because all this while I just know Daniel. And then to make matters even more interesting is that Daniel itself.
Right.
And Williams.
Right.
How many siblings you have?
So I have about 7 siblings.
Oh, wow.
We 8 in total.
Yeah.
I have, four brothers and then 3 sisters, 8 with me. I'm the 5th brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Right.
Who gets more the attention, the ladies or the boys or both?
Well, I hope my siblings are not turning, they're not tuning in into this because I am now literally going to be revealing the house secrets. But look, we grew up as a united front, so to say, within our household as brothers and sisters. My father always made it a point that, look, if you don't love one another, who do you think is going to love you? If you don't show that love to your sister, and especially he was very big on us having to care for our sisters, seeing that they are women. And that we were so many men. That you had to respect your sister. You had to treat her in a certain way. But I tell you what, we had fights like any other family,
of course.
Right?
Yeah.
But then if you would get into a fight with one of your sisters, my dad would literally, look, he would give you that hiding.
Yeah. Like
you would know that.
Women better.
You would know that, oh boy, that was massive.
Okay. Interesting. Wait, you grew up in the same household with your mom and dad and your 7 siblings?
Yeah.
How interesting. And how was that growing up in a household of such a big family?
At the time, I probably just want to just make a correction here quickly, Abby, is that, we didn't grow up with my mom per se.
Aww.
And this is why.
Yeah.
My mom passed on whilst we were still very young. Those of us that were now the younger, in the younger ones in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I was 7 years old and my mom had passed on. So we literally
and the youngest
grew up,
sibling was old.
She was still a baby. She was still a baby. She was crawling from what I was told that she was still crawling then. Mm-hmm. So our last born then. So it was kind of like a man and a woman carrying this household of all these children. And I'm not referring to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And man, did the man do a pretty good job? Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to, give him the props. My dad also passed on. My dad passed on 2004.
Okay. You're much older then.
Yeah. We were much older then.
Okay.
In fact, all of us were old enough then.
Oh. Okay. Let's not turn this into something
else. Come on, Happy.
Okay, cool.
These are the questions that people sit and they want to ask you these questions. Mm. It sits at the back of their minds. They want to, you know, that thing of when someone looks at you and then they wonder, who is this guy?
Yeah, who is this guy?
Look at him. He's got it all together. Mm. And he comes here and, you know, he preps me. He guides me. And well, it's time that people have to know.
Yeah. In some way, I think, you inspire people more by being realistic and honest.
100%.
Yeah, because then people see your challenges, that you're also human.
Right.
You know, like perhaps like role models. I don't know if I really have a role model. But
no,
yeah.
Trust me, we all do.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Maybe right. A role model in career.
Right.
Like you can't be my whole role model. It's impossible.
Right. No,
like,
definitely not.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find froze with you on this side,
yeah,
that I don't like. So
yeah.
You probably inspire me career-wise and then not marriage-wise, and then
right.
You inspire me
right.
what-wise, stuff like that. So even with role models, I think we knowing their struggles and seeing how they've navigated their way out
right.
kind of gives you inspiration that, hey, wait, if Daniel went through this
right.
and here he is doing great,
right.
I think I can pull through. And so many times people want to paint this perfect picture. I don't want to paint no perfect picture to
True.
Nobody, you know,
yeah.
because my life hasn't been perfect and it
yeah.
still isn't perfect,
yeah.
you know. I want to be honest about my struggles. So I love how you point that out. I want to be honest about the challenges that I'm going through, you know.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah. Now, I was still there. I want to ask you this question. Okay. Not you related per se, but it's something that I was speaking with a colleague of mine. You being a mentor, I want to get your perspective on it about, a single parent household.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, kids were wired to be brought up by both mother and father.
Right.
But in so many circumstances and situations now, and sometimes it's not death that takes away the other partner,
right.
but something else. What do you think about single parenting, whether it's from a dad and from a mom, you know,
right.
who's maybe raising? Do you think that a single parent can effectively train up a child to be at the standard way, just maybe average of a child is going to become outright? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I tell you, interesting question. Happy, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a single parent,
yeah,
what are you raising? Are you raising children or are you raising one child? I think for me, if you raise one child,
yeah,
then you would have the ability to be able to give that child detailed attention,
yeah.
The nurturing, the guidance, the protection,
mm-hmm.
all that.
Yeah.
But if it's children, if it's in a plural form, then it becomes a little bit complex.
True.
Because now each and every of these concubines come with their own little character. You know, so you can just imagine a household whereby you say, for instance, nowadays, which is quite common in Africa, you know, is that you find mainly homes that are having single moms,
like
raising
a
children.
A lot.
Raising
in our
children.
Culture, it's become really like that.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I firstly want to correct that by saying that, look, that should not happen, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we also got to be honest that circumstances,
mm-hmm.
many a times, can navigate certain situations.
Yeah.
Right. So, fine. I just wanted to put that out. Now, let's focus on the single parent. So, if you're a single parent and you've got 3-4 children,
mm-hmm.
This one wakes up with mood swings. This one mm-hmm. is a happy chap. So, it becomes a little bit complex, as
True.
I said.
Mm-hmm.
This one is an introvert.
Mm.
This one is an extrovert. You understand?
Yeah.
So, now you got to navigate your way on how to balance all of these characters. And mind you, they all depend on you.
That's
so
true.
Whether you've had a restless night, whether you had a tough day at work, right? Whether you're going through your own instabilities in terms of your, you know, emotionally, for instance.
Yeah.
Look, you gotta put up that head that, look, I've got it together. So then it becomes a bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And for such parents or such individuals, one can only say, you know what? You've done it.
Mm.
You've done it.
Yeah, ne? Ah, Daniel.
Yeah, that would be my take.
Yeah, ne? Interesting.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's a topic I want to discuss here now, and ask now, starting with it right there. You just giving us an iceberg of it is already making me like, I wish you could go more and more and more, but
yeah.
Let me deliver what the people are looking for. So now, Daniel, take us through your journey of mentorship. And before you actually get there, of course, you grew up in Ketmanswap, raised in Ketmanswap. Did you finish high school there?
Yep.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Now, take us through how your school career was. Because I like to draw back to people's stories. Because often where you are now reflect a lot of what
where
you're doing.
Coming from.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. That's everybody's story where you are now. Something in the past was hinting that you're going to be here.
Right.
Although it wasn't so clear. It was a bit blurry.
Right.
But now let's get that. How were you in school? What type of person were you when you're in high school?
Funny enough.
Yeah.
This man was actually a very, withdrawn individual. I was always a shy guy, but unless you had known me, like from a personal point of view, like you probably were my friend, we grew up in one suburb, we played together, but school, so that is school whereby the majority of the pupils at this school were colored. Okay. And coming from, you know, the neighborhoods, going to a colored school, and you could just imagine, despite the fact that you already feel out of color, if you look at your skin color, the Afrikaans was also top notch. Eh? So it's almost like that semi white school, right? So that was kind of a bit of a challenge for me. Not to say that I couldn't speak Afrikaans, but now you had to speak Afrikaans that were up there, you know, not just that. My dad used to refer it to as kitchen Afrikaans, because back then when they, you know, came to Namibia, any foreigner, the first jobs that they could get was like, you know, house help. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So it was kind of calming, if I may put it that way.
Yeah.
I must be honest to say that my school career, I've always been in leadership roles.
I see.
Yeah. I was that guy that was the class captain. I was that guy that people would come to me, you know, my mates and so on would come to me and say, look, listen, man, what would you have done had this and this had happened to you?
Yeah.
And I started that guidance already from a very young age without even being aware of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I just felt like, oh, okay, yeah, you know what? Happy came to me and she wanted to, you know, just have my view. And I gave her my view and off she goes. But then Happy goes and actually applies what I advised her and gets it right or overcomes. So much so that throughout my high school, then it became a bit more intense. Because now I would have people, you know, confronting me, approaching me out of nowhere. They would have just probably heard, especially this part, especially the girls.
Oh, okay.
Girls always used to come to me with their love stories and their experiences regarding boys and their behaviors.
Oh, my word.
So I was that guy that if we had come together for a social, you know, outing or so, I would be surrounded with ladies. And I must say that, many of my guy friends were not so pleased with me. Some would actually refer to me then as a player, but they didn't know that I wasn't actually a player.
Yeah.
I was a guy that was very scared of ladies, even to approach a girl. I mean,
maybe that's why they were so comfortable around you.
Correct. Maybe. I was the kind of guy that would write you a letter and would never deliver that letter to you.
Okay. You won't deliver. Okay. That's the worst part. I have a friend of mine who writes letters.
Like
For him writing a letter, even to this day, he can literally write you. And I think that's so special, you know, if somebody can really take our time to write you a letter in this day and age.
Right. No, so I was not really a guy that was, you know, vocal.
Yeah.
So that's why I would write. However, I was a very good listener, Happy. I think that was the one thing that distinguished me.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, I was a very good listener. I was that guy because I already had the character of just being, you know, an introvert and so.
Yeah.
But I would listen. I would make the time.
Aww.
for these friends of mine or this lady friends or whether it's a classmate. Mm-hmm. I would make the time. Sometimes I would even just sit there and ask myself, but did I just say the right thing? Was it really worth it? But then when you come here, the person tell you that they went and applied what you had advised them on and it actually worked. They'd be like, oh, okay, this actually feels good.
Yeah.
The only thing that I didn't do back then, happy, probably by now I would have been a very wealthy man, is to charge already then. To put a charge to my services.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's the journey of me as Daniel growing up, being that young individual that had always been there for others.
I see.
I've always been there for others, irrespective. And I had a belief of no judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I would be that guy that would go to, say, a public affair, and I would single out happy that no one would want to talk to.
I see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be that guy that would want to have a conversation with you. I was always intrigued by people that were isolated and why others would not really want to take note of them.
Yeah.
So I would take note of you.
They kind of make the person feel comfortable.
Correct. Correct. Because that I've harnessed from my upbringing.
Mm.
That is how my dad was. My dad was a man with a very warm heart. In our neighborhood growing up, there's no person that did not know my dad. None.
Mm.
It was the guy that he comes from work. You know, back then our parents would come from work and then they would have like a little plastic bag with a little bit of goodies in it, you know, sweets, bananas, biscuits, and kids. I hated. There was a time that I hated, and sorry for this word. I don't want to put it out so aggressively, but I want to be honest as well.
Yeah.
I hated the kids in my street because they would literally flock to my dad the minute he gets off the ride that would bring them to the suburb. They would flock to my dad. There would be other men also, but they would flock to my dad. And then they would want to carry his carry bags. And my dad, on the way from where he got dropped off up until home, would dish out all those goodies to these kids. Look, my dad was like, you know, the Father Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, the Santa Claus of my suburb.
Mm-hmm.
However, I didn't understand it back then.
Of course.
Today, Daniel is that guy in the space of mentorship.
Yeah, that's many. That's right. Literally interesting. But at least he would still come home with something and give you.
Yeah.
But you just feel like bare minimum.
Yeah. Instead of having, you know, 10 bananas, we would have like one banana that we would have to cut.
Oh, I see. Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's literally where your mentorship journey started off. Where did it actually pick up and you realized that, hey, wait, this is something that I'm called to do?
Okay. I hope that you've got the stomach for this.
Okay.
Right. So backtrack quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I started off my career, you know, as a working individual very early, at a very, very early age.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I met a gentleman and that became my brother. Like, he literally became my blood brother.
Yeah.
And was and still is my mentor. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I met a gentleman 2003, through my profession then, I met a gentleman with the name Mr. Jacob Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And he then, of course, then we were just, you know, we became acquainted, we became friends, and we would bond as men. And this was actually the first guy that gave me that eased feel of, look, listen, it's okay to speak about the things that bother you, to speak about it openly.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we would have laughter over it. So it's not that bad. So through our years of brotherhood, through our years of friendship, he is the guy that groomed me into the professional space of identifying my gift as, you know, the ability to be able to mentor, the ability to be able to counsel, the ability to be able to nurture, encourage, motivate, inspire. He's the guy that pointed that out for me to say that, hey, look, listen, by the way, and this is how it happened, strangely.
Okay.
We were then consultants back then, and you know, we were consultants, we were so vibrant, and it is the time that the Ministry of Trade back then just, you know, may his soul rest in peace, our late president, Haki Kengop, he was then the Minister of Trade then. So he had this thing of focusing on SMEs, you know, small and medium enterprise businesses in and how to mentor them, how to literally guide them through how to sustain a business, how to educate them on financial literacy and so on. So we became these business consultants that were now running around with those projects. So now throughout that time, we had the region assigned to us, which was the Hartab region then. But then my friend was in full-time employment and I wasn't. So one of us had to represent the company, you know, within that specific town. So he said, okay, you know, you go, let's go set up a little office there, and you go and you'd be the face of the office. I was not ready for that assignment, to tell you the truth. Cause now I'm sitting in an office, people are coming in, they say, look, listen, I want to start a business, but I want to sell sweets, I want to sell cigarettes, I want to sell fat cakes, and I want to sell, let's say, household products that are of daily need. And I'm like, but look, throughout our seminars, we were told that we must get these people to a level of manufacturing and industrialized minds. Now here comes this person, and they come with a cooker shop mentality to me. How am I going to deal? How am I going to deal with this? Hey, but because I had the ability already to be able to listen, so it was I created that comfort environment. You understand, for the person to come with that little idea that they have had. And I would have been able to say, but look, listen, why don't you then turn this business around? And how we're going to turn it around is there are a few things that you've overlooked, because everybody else around you has a cooker shop. So what would make yours different from the others? So let's look into it. What are the needs? What are the essential products? How often? What's the buying power? Who is the buying power? What are they? Where are they employed? When do people get paid? When do you have, you know, all of this, you know, business consulting, sort of like, you know, and through that, over a period of time, I found myself sitting in spaces and in rooms with you know, filled with a council, and I'm now referring to local authority councillors. And I have to represent now the masses, which is the small and medium enterprise business owners within that specific town. So that is actually where it started for me. So now you got to think for yourself. I sit with all these professionals, finance guys. I sit with the CEO. I sit with the marketing executive. I sit with the councillors, different, professionals with different views of business. And I sit as one representing the masses. So if I mess up in these settings, then this project will not work. So I started already with the listening skill. I was able then to tailor-make, you understand, processes, strategies, flows of marketing strategies for businesses. Where I'm going with this is, Happy, is that because of what I had already within me that I myself was not aware of, it was then birthed through that.
I see. Because you had to deliver your best.
I had to deliver my best. And I had to speak for the masses.
Interesting.
So that's where my mentorship was birthed. From having to advise, having to lead, having to guide small and medium business enterprise owners.
And that time he had no experience whatsoever.
I tell you, I was as rough as they would say, you know, in the English version, I was a rough diamond. And so I was as rough as they could come, hey. But all I knew is that I had this huge responsibility. And because of my articulation in terms of having to express myself, I was always a good, you know, I was always good at expressing myself. So you can think for yourself when people are like, yeah, he's the guy. He's going to go get it right for us. So we all believe in him. So you can't mess up such an assignment.
You have to deliver.
You have to deliver.
Because people are looking up to you.
People are looking up to you.
I think that also might be one of the reasons that pushes people to do really good.
Right.
Yeah, because you yourself might actually not believe in yourself. But the fact that so many people are believing in you, kind of tell yourself, Daniel, you have to get it right.
Right.
You really have to get it right. Okay. Interesting. Hey. And eventually then while you were still, being,
a business consultant
and a voice for others, how did that make you feel personally? How did that boost your self-esteem when things would actually, when you would speak for them and things would work out?
Whew. I tell you, it's one of those feels that it gives you the chill, right?
Yeah.
Just being able to be told that, you know what? We like what we've heard. We will go with your idea. You understand? And like I said, these are executives that I was sitting with. And for me to have just been a mere business consultant, with no master's degree, with no, degree, no experience. And they were able to listen to me and actually to follow me, so to say. The feeling happy is it resonates more with, you see, you can do this. You actually do have the ability to do this. It's more when you go and reflect afterwards and you do that little bit of introspection, when you sit quiet and you're like, oh, wow. Wow, so that actually went right. Oh, that actually went smooth. Oh, wow. Unbelievable. And that urges you now. It gives you now the urge and the burning desire to want to do it again and again and again and again. And that is how the momentum grows in self-belief that you are able and capable.
I like that.
Sorry, Happy. This is what a lot of people don't know about me, but I'm a guy that's off the core. I love it raw.
Yeah. So one reason why I actually say I like that is because it kind of makes a person realize that, hey, you know what? Whatever your dreams are valid and your dreams are achievable. Whatever big dreams that you have, you're actually able to attain them. And the other day I read about, President Etumbandani Daito's visit to Dar es Salaam. And she was asked to give a speech based on her true story and reflecting on it. Was a speech for women. And so she, in her journey, I realized, wait, something about this woman's journey always kind of showed that, you know what? She's going to be a president. And I know I've read in the Bible about, God using Moses when he was 40 years, 80 years old, something like that. And I kind of like didn't really believe it per se, not really believe it, but it feels more, real now that the president is president at the age that she is. Now, with that being said, we do have a commercial break. We'll take also a musical break and we'll see you right after. Stay tuned.
The best just got better.
Bharat's fiber packages that give you unbeatable internet speeds at unbelievable prices. Enjoy speeds of up to 10 megabits per second, starting from just $500, excluding VAT. Sign up now for these fiber packages that are pushing the boundaries of innovation, so you can enjoy more connectivity, faster browsing at even more affordable prices. Visit your nearest Bharat's offices to find out more, or go to bharat.africa/Namibia to sign up online.
An agenda, Lord, you can take your time. More than a Sunday morning, God, you can have my whole life. The room is yours.
find you in your pain. I feel it in me like the beating of life in my veins. Whoa.
And we are back. You're tuned into Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. So tonight we're talking about mentorship, and I think we'll also obviously dwell into the role of a mentor, and we're dwelling on Daniel Williams' case study. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. So Daniel's, now that, of course, every journey has its ups and its lows.
Yeah.
I want to believe that mentorship journey is no exemption from that.
Correct.
So what are those lows that you have had to experience yourself as a mentor? Of
right.
course, you have you've spoken about the triumphs and obviously the question of the confidence that it boasts in you when you deliver a message and it actually helps somebody.
Yeah.
But what are those lows that you've experienced, and sometimes makes you wonder why you're even a mentor in the first place?
Whew. I like the fact that you ended it off with why am I a mentor in the first place?
Mm.
Happy, this is a God's call.
Mm.
Mentorship, leading people,
it's
my God calling. I want to just quickly go back to what I said, how I started off. So in between, there was a time in my life, having worked in the professional circuit for various entities. So I came to a point in my life whereby, and I'm now speaking of, say, 2014, whereby I literally stepped off from the corporate. And I venture into now business, mainly service provision.
Yeah.
But before getting into that, Happy, I took out some time, say about 2-3 months or so. And in those 2-3 months, I rattled the Lord with my Creator. I rattled the Lord. I sat and I asked God, what am I purposed for?
Yeah.
Who am I really? Yeah, I know I've been helping people. I know I'm very good with people.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm very lovable. I know I'm very caring.
Mm-hmm.
But who am I? Could this be really like?
Yeah.
Who am I really? You know, as a person, what is my purpose really? And it just so happened that at that point in time, God came through to me in a dream. Okay. And in that dream, God showed me a vision of whereby the story of Moses leading the Israelites, parting the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I don't really share every day, Happy. But like I said, it's time that people need to get to know who this guy really is and why I'm so passionate about what I do and why I would do it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
God came to me in a dream and he showed me people, myself, parting the Red Sea, and I had people flocking with me through that passage. And that's when it hit me, Happy, that, oh boy. So I am to be a leader.
Hmm.
But am I to be a leader as an, obviously then it was still, now the dream is still vivid. Am I now to be a leader as in a pastor, perhaps, maybe from a religious perspective?
Yeah.
Am I now to become a prophet? You know, prophetism was now the way to go nowadays. It's like a whole new industry, you know?
Oh my God. And then it's a topic I need to bring out here also. And I have just the right person for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I rattled with that. I said, okay, Lord, fine. I do understand it. But this assignment is way, way, way too big for me.
Mm-hmm.
And God being God, He didn't finish that. He didn't leave me there.
Mm-hmm.
Week thereafter, he gave me another dream. Because of my uncertainty that I had, and also the level of confidence that had dropped within me, in terms of, oh, maybe this is not me, God. Perhaps you chose the wrong guy. You know, like the Jonah story.
Yeah.
He gave me another dream whereby he literally walked with me through thorns. Holding my hand to say, look, you are the right man for the job. And if you don't believe me, I can even walk with you, but you are the right man for the job.
Yeah.
So now let's come to the lows. That was the exciting part, right?
Yeah.
Now you know what you're destined for. Now you know your heart is burning. You're quite excited.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's getting into it. Getting into it, I was now to register a company. Because now the work must start. But when I registered the company, I actually registered a construction company, construction and civil engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is good. Yeah. I've never gone to an architectural school, but yeah, here I am. I've got a construction company.
Yeah.
But this is the beauty of it.
Okay.
Within that construction company, it was not the amount of structures that I've put up, physical structures that I've put up.
Mm-hmm.
It was structures within those that worked for me and those that I built structures for. I built emotional structures within them.
Mm.
I built mental stability within them.
Yeah.
I built self-confidence within them. So those are the structures that I built. So my construction company was not just a company that had put up a structure and no. Whenever every other project that I've ever delivered throughout my construction, so to say, tenure, it has always been looked at, wow, wow. And you say you're not an architect? You say you're not an engineer?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow. I could read a building plan happy.
Serious?
Yes.
Wow.
I could read a building plan. I remember when my first project, I got a building plan from the client and we're sitting and we having a coffee meeting and then the client says, so I would like to have that wall cut off here and I would like to shape here and I would like to shape there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, Daniel, here you go. You like things, you like challenges, but you also like challenges that you have no clue of what you can go to. So I would set up nights. I think the one thing that drove me to always succeed happy was the fact that instead of drawing into a man or into individuals, which I also at some time, because we always need people that you need to seek advice from.
Yeah.
But I would always go back to the main source, which is my creator. I would go sit and I would sit even with those building plans and I would ask, so these things that this client spoke about, what are they? How do they look? And for me, how I would succeed in something, I only would experience the involvement once I am in it. Once I'm in it, then things, so to say, interject. If you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The sequence starts being formed. It starts making sense.
Yeah.
So, through that happy,
that
is where I realized that, look, despite the odds, if I can believe in myself,
mm.
if I believe that I can be a radio presenter,
mm.
I don't need to have had a whole 2-3 years of theory for it.
Yeah.
There are very few people on this earth, Happy, that has what I would call the natural ability, God-given natural abilities.
Yeah.
You are looking at one of them.
I think a lot of people have them. They just don't dwell on them or don't pursue them.
Well, you could say that.
Put them at the back.
Yeah, one could say that. One could say that. But in my experience, I have learned that that is different. God selects a handful for a greater purpose. So that's where I'm going. A very few people have the natural. Some have to go through sort of like a training session. Some have to go through a grooming phase. Mm-hmm. You understand? But then there are those that just instinctively, without them knowing, instinctively, and until they get on the assignment, and it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my challenge always was that in my lows was to be able to encourage myself, motivate myself that I can actually do this.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to sit in front of people and you give off. Yeah. You give off that you've got it all together. It's another to actually really do the actual work. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's been my challenge. My challenge mainly was always that self-motivating factor. Where do I draw that from?
Yeah.
That's been my challenge.
Mm.
And that I've gone to God so many times, even up until today, so many times. Mm-hmm. When you see me on the street and you're like,
he's
got it all together. But when I go back home and I go close myself up in my room, mm-hmm. I'm like, Lord, did you just really throw me in that? What now? Mm-hmm. So you see, you like putting me through things. What now? What what are we going to do now? Yeah. And do you know that that is actually an expectation? And tomorrow Happy's going to look at me and she'll want to know that, have I done this thing?
Mm.
And can I do this thing?
Yeah.
But time and again, Happy, it has been, he has proved it to me that, look, you've got the ability.
Yeah.
You just got to trust yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Ah, wow. I think, that's quite interesting. And perhaps that might be actually same for people who are in the public space or the public domain.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people think they have it all figured out. They have it all together, but yet they have their own battles to fight.
Right.
It's not all roses. It's not all perfect.
Correct.
And then they can come, I think, it's where you separate your job or you separate your calling.
Correct.
Your profession.
Right.
From, of course, they are intertwined. Intertwined with your personal story, with your own, story, maybe at home.
Right.
But in a way, they are also two distinct things.
Correct.
Yeah. Because when you do go home, it's something completely different. You have your challenges. You have all these things that are surrounding you that need your attention or this and this and that.
Right.
And I guess that is where you are now being molded.
Right.
You're kind of like, of course, self-doubt can also come in.
Right.
Yeah. And then, but it's in within that process when you do motivate yourself without you realizing it, you're motivating yourself for other people as well.
Correct. I love the way you put that.
Yeah, ne? And then when you are up on that stage, when you're actually encouraging or mentoring those young youth, the young girls and the young boys, right, to focus on their studies and to do this and this, with whatever space you're actually in, or you are mentoring corporate people, or you are mentoring SMEs, or you're mentoring, you know, they actually feed off what you, encourage yourself in. And our studio line is not really open, but like, let me open it, because this is the second time I'm actually seeing this. Life Lessons, good evening. And then we lost that one. Well, the studio line is now open, thanks to our callers who have been persistent. At least two I've noticed. You can come through and share opinions and contributions, or perhaps you would really like to ask a question from our mentor in studio. That is on 083-288-401. The studio number is 083-288-401. So, Daniel, you also spoke about, you also go out and seek, what do you call it?
Advice.
Yeah. Hold on. Life Lessons, good evening.
Good evening, madam and Mr. Is it Daniel? Is it Daniel?
Yes, that's correct, my brother.
Yes, good evening, Daniel.
Good evening, brother.
How are you?
Very awesome. And yourself?
We thank God for coming to motivate us and mentor us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Not especially when the discussion is connected to the biblical principle.
Right.
And it helps us to really understand that we are here with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
One is to save God and his people, to save his people through his instrumentalities, like you people there. And the one thing that really also steered me up is the obedience to the instructions, the obedience to the leadership. You mentioned somebody who has mentored you there.
Right.
He has really inspired you. And you are very much obedient.
Right.
Just like the example you have illustrated, Moses, you know, talking, other people crossing the Red Sea. So it is really necessary that before I go on, let me not forget something very important. You mentioned the work of our late president, Agrigen Coples, his soul rest in peace.
Right.
You know, that man of God, he really did wonder. And I know the time when people come to start hating him is because he was causing those root holes of corruption and things like that. And people start hating his leadership. I don't know. So that when you look at the structure, just similar to the one that your company, construction company that you set up structures. Look at the structure that they are still intact within the Namibian governance system.
Right.
So we're really proud. We are proud to hear things like that from you.
Thank you.
And especially when you was now talking about small, medium enterprise.
Yeah.
And these things are still going on. The language is still the same. Maybe it's now intensified at the high level and things like that. All those coordinating structures. But what is really preventing us, Mr. Daniel, on your own opinion?
Yeah.
Last time I was reading in the newspaper, they say very few people are registering with the BIPA, the local companies.
Mm.
And if we are not registering with our companies and things like that, what does that mean? It means that we are not engaging in this, whether it's service provision or whatever.
Yeah.
We are not engaging. And that is going to be detrimental. It's tantamount to our economic development.
Right, right.
Great. So, but in short, all I'm saying is that you really, maybe you can highlight some things, because you also mentioned about, BIPA.
Yeah.
You're going to BIPA, register a business. Did you do that because you know in mind, at the back of your mind, you had capital, financial muscles to see it through? Or just because of the fat cook and all these other things that you had? Because, you see, this is how I grew up also in that kind of life.
Right.
Because your question, as you come from when the socialization from home, your father and things like that, the big house and things like that, a united front. What is preventing people to come up with a united front?
Right.
Here, to address some of this unemployment issue, like we were talking about graduates, talking from different kind of corners,
yeah,
and things like that. And I think this is a different university here now.
Right.
So I'm just saying, please, maybe you can also highlight and see whether we can learn some lessons there, because we now have got a problem of the youth employment, unemployment, and then so we want to get stuff from your experience as to how do we then navigate this situation. So the message that comes to Red, still through small medium enterprise that you say is through what kind of structure? How do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for, since it's a mind, you know, it's, we say life lesson,
eh? Mm-hmm.
What we are learning from Juju here, is life skills.
Oh.
Right. The functional skills that we need to have now. Literacy, we mentioned of financial literacy,
mm-hmm,
all this literacy, technological literacy and whatever. So, but we do not have mentor, role model to do that.
Right.
I think we are lacking. Or maybe it's the platform that you think, or is it because maybe we are filing in our formula to attach some values there or military values? So thank you very much, Juju, for bringing him here.
Okay.
And we thank God for how we, you know. So please get more and see how we can motivate some.
Okay.
And then those ones, they will go on, and then let's not run away from our responsibility. Otherwise, we'll become like Jonah.
Jonah.
And you know, there's no way you can run away from this. You know, God will always catch you.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. God bless you, man.
Okay. Thank you, Uncle Bona.
Welcome.
Okay.
Yeah, Daniel, I think it'll only be fair. I like the points he pulled out there. You know, of course, you laid the foundation of telling us your journey, yeah, with your struggles and what. But I think it'll only be fair that I also ask you about those people that are at home now, going through so much struggles of financial struggles, going through job struggles. You know, there was a point in my life where I needed a mentor every single day. And thankfully, there was somebody who was fulfilling that role. And I think they were just placed in my life for that very particular purpose.
Right.
This person will motivate me every single day, you know.
Right.
She'll motivate me and I'll be strong. And the next day, I'll still need motivation. Now, right. I'm not a mentor, so I don't have I don't think I have the guts or the system or the whatever build up to motivate a person, the same person over and over every day. So of course we're going to go for a commercial break now. When we do come back, of course, we're going to talk about that, about that particular person at home who's going through so much. Yeah. And they may have their degrees. They may have, they may have whatever it takes that
right.
requires a job. All
right.
the qualities may be in place.
Right.
So as a mentor, these are the things that people need to hear at
right.
home. Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Okay. So do stay tuned and we'll be back shortly after the commercial break. And a short musical break. See you.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the EagleFM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the EagleFM app.
So when to beer asked Namibia to be real. And we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names. And 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arnold. It doesn't get more real than that. As Windhoek, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are tuned into Life Lessons right here on Eagle FM. I'm joined in studio by Daniel Williams, and he is a mentor. If you're just joining us, well, welcome. The conversation will still catch up with you. So now, Daniel, I asked this question earlier before we went for a commercial break. And for those who are going through so much right now, and I say this knowing that there comes a point in life, and I want to believe that every one of us goes through the stage. Every one of us goes through a stage where, of course, just maybe on different levels, where you're just going through a lot. I guess it's a way of having to then appreciate where you are going when you eventually do get there. Now, while you are just in the valley and things are really tough, it looks like you have acquired everything else that you needed to acquire to be where you believe you should be, but it's just so slow. You're just not being there. Or maybe you are there. You've got all this that you've been dreaming of, but now it's overwhelming and one just doesn't know what to do. So from a mentor's perspective, what advice would you give to such type of people?
Right. Thank you, Happy. I always would allude this to people and say, look, and I'm speaking from my own experience.
Yeah.
When one gets to that space
mm-hmm.
of where you just feel like, but nothing is moving,
mm.
that's when you have to realize it's either you have moved too fast, not calculatively, you've moved too fast.
Yeah.
Or you have not moved at all because why? You have doubted yourself so many a times in terms of mm-hmm. your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So what I say is take a step back. Come to a halt. Take a step back.
Yeah.
That's one thing that a lot of us humans miss
mm-hmm.
connection with.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the inner being of you as a person. That inner voice, that inner connect of you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one thing that we mainly disconnect with. Because we're always on the run. We yeah. want to achieve, we want to yeah. acquire, we want to make bold statements, we want to be acknowledged, we want to, you understand, we're always on the move. And we miss that person in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most vital tool mm-hmm. for your next step. So I say, take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Sit. Reflect. I'm a person that is a believer of patterns. Wants patterns in life. You gotta take that step back. Look at and reassess. Where was I?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I now?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it that I would have wanted to be? Now, the where was I usually would complement the where I am now. And if the where I am now is not complemented by the where I was in terms of growth,
yeah.
justifiable growth, that's a red flag already.
Mm.
That already is an indication that, no. This route that I've been on, or this thing that I've engaged on, this thing that I've indulged in, is not per se my forte. It's not for me. It's not meant for me. I'm running a race that is meant for Happy. I'm running a race that is meant for John.
Yeah.
Because it worked for John, it worked for Happy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not me. Because you ought to be propelled in your life in terms of growth as a person.
Yeah.
By where you were to where you are now. If you don't see change, take a step back.
Mm.
Reassess.
Yeah.
Look at, this is the thing that I want to make clear. What am I good at really?
Mm.
What am I really good at?
Mm.
Okay, fine. Happy is good at being on air.
Okay.
Or Happy is good on in terms of connecting with people.
Mm.
But what am I good at?
Mm.
What if I am good at, let's say, for instance,
Writing a script.
Yeah.
Or writing
Thank you.
Stories for people.
Writing a story for people.
Mm-hmm.
Or what am I, Hippie? Those are even, you know, highly articulated skills.
Baking. I'm good at baking.
Baking.
Yeah.
What if I'm good at baking? What if through my baking, I have a way of harnessing people
mm-hmm.
together?
Mm-hmm.
See? So now I want to chase a career of being an accountant because an accountant is... seen
sort of
in the space of it's more accomplishable,
yeah.
it's more recognized, it has the, you know, articulates of acknowledgement.
Yeah.
But if I don't make it in the accounting space, then what?
Mm-hmm.
So my point that I'm making is do that introspection.
Mm-hmm.
What am I good at? If all else fails, if Ecolife am tomorrow, And God forbid, but we're making examples here. If Eagle FM tomorrow branches out into a different space of business and they're not doing radio anymore.
Maybe they're doing broadcasting.
Maybe
TV.
They, you understand, television. Yeah, yeah. So what becomes of me?
Yeah, who's not as happy? Good at speaking in
who was not
TV?
Good at speaking in, yeah, you understand?
Yeah.
What happens to me now? Mm-hmm. You see? So that thing of where we're running a race that is, uncalculative, a race with no proper vision, a race that does not align. That is the word that I was looking for, Happy. That does not align with who I really am.
And my purpose.
And my purpose. So, coming now back to our caller earlier, where he asked that, you know, it's a small and medium enterprise. All the challenges that we are faced with and having to register. Yes, of course, we need to adhere to regulatory bodies. We also can't just go put up businesses left, right, and center. And, you know, there's got to be some legalities mm-hmm. to everything, to every process. So all that good and well. But that does not mean that you are limited mm-hmm. from really exercising your abilities. That is a compliance aspect.
Yeah.
I must comply to the regulator. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. You know? However, whilst in the process of compliance, how agile am I adjusting to my business processes? Like I said mm-hmm. earlier, cooker shop, you find nowadays is a string of cooker shops. In one street,
yeah.
5, 6, 7 of them. We're all selling the same products.
Mm.
But that's not strange in business. It's common.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in quite a few countries. What we don't do right is, if you and I both have a tuck shop, a yeah. home tuck shop, yeah. and you sell the basic essentials in your home tuck shop,
yeah.
what if I sell sanitary? You get me?
Yeah.
In my area, I probably have, you know, young pupils going to school, and the majority thereof is probably girls. A girl would be more comfortable having to go buy sanitaries from Meme Happy nearby, just
yeah.
next door,
yeah.
instead of going to ShopRite where everybody sees her in the shopping complex
mm.
and all the school friends see her and even the boys that mm. she most probably would have liked,
yeah.
you know, that boy that
mm-hmm.
she would be more comfortable. So these are the things that we need to look into having to separate us from the rest.
From the rest. I like that. Mm-hmm.
So all in all, how do I now as a mentor engage with these people that sit with, you know, questions like that, that sits with difficulties like that, that sits with uncertainties like that, challenges. Well, I will, before we leave, I would definitely would want to leave my contacts. But I would say this is something that needs a holistic engagement from, especially from a government level as well. I sit with the tools, I sit with the knowledge, I sit with the experience, mm-hmm. I sit with all the life lessons that I can coach, guide and groom,
yeah.
but I might not sit with the resources to reach the masses.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
So that's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. And while we are at that, Daniel, now in this era that we are in, and we see the number of the percentage of suicides that are every now and then. We see the reports of those who are committing murder. We see how, you know, love relationships end up and one person ends up dead. We see baby dumping. We see all this. I want to put it this way, say all the sicknesses in the society, you know,
right.
these diseases that are eating up at us, and it points at one thing. It's not enough to go to school and acquire that degree and get a good job. You know, that's not, that's, and have a good house and have a husband and
right.
have a wife and children. Right. There is more to it that also needs to be done for society. So we see all these things that is, that are happening. What is it that you think for you, and not only you, but for other mentors, other coaches, that what should be done perhaps for society to come at their level? You know, I see it so much as it, of course, there is doctors for physical illness, and then there is doctors for mental illnesses. You know, the things that are happening in the society, people are going through divorces, and that comes also with mental issues sometimes.
Right.
People are going through losing their jobs, and right. that can lead them to suicide. So what is that thing that you think perhaps we should be incorporating within our society from a higher level, not just from a from ground, but from up top notch? What do you say?
Well, Happy, thank you for that. Well, I didn't actually think that we were gonna get that. I was hoping that this would be one of the questions that you would ask. Look, I want to put it this way.
Yeah.
I am currently running a series called Men Decoded.
Okay.
Right. And this series is focused on, and I'm not going to reveal everything now,
mm-hmm.
but this series is focused on having to educate our mothers, our sisters, our aunties, our grandmas, our cousins, mainly the female gender.
Mm.
And starting from the basis of a household, because that's where everything gets birthed.
Exactly.
It's your household.
Mm-hmm. You know, our constitution actually says that a family is the basic fundamental unit of a society.
Correct.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct. So, now, Happy. Ah, man, now you just got me warmed up. What we need to understand, Happy, is that each and every human being on this earth, for as long as you are breathing, walking, talking,
mm-hmm.
we have mental abilities that is either functional
mm-hmm.
or dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And that mental ability must coexist with your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you have experts like myself,
mm-hmm.
that is an emotional intelligence coach.
Mm-hmm.
So emotional intelligence then draws us back to what I had referred to as household,
okay.
where everything is birthed from. What are the things that why we cannot fully function as a human being is because of that disconnect. The emotional intelligence, knowing when to be able to regulate your actions,
yeah.
that gets birthed from an emotional standing point of view, that feel that you feel. How am I going to react towards that feel? Am I going to react physically? Am I going to react mentally? Am I going to react emotionally? And my reaction, would my reaction then necessarily prompt a good outcome or a bad outcome? See, so from that standing point, you ask the question, how? I am already here. I've started something.
Mm-hmm.
I just need the rest to join the wagon, to support the initiative. Because
yeah.
I believe that if you educate a woman, and this is not being stereotyped, but mm-hmm. it's because of the responsibility that comes with a woman.
Yeah.
If you educate a woman within a household, irrespective of whatever age, she is able to transform a society. Because women sit with responsibilities of, I got to make sure that the house is intact.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make sure that people are fed. I got to make sure that people are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make sure that whoever is taken care of. Mm-hmm. And on top of, you know, they put themselves last.
That's so true.
Yeah, they put themselves last. And because of those responsibilities, you are then the one that mainly interacts with your household as compared to the man.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So if a woman gets to be taught how to self-regulate and how to be aware, self-aware of your emotions and how to regulate them, the behaviors, the characteristics, think what kind of society we will create. And dread draws me to the suicidal rates that you've mentioned, the deaths that you've mentioned, the domestic violence that you've mentioned. So if I can teach my boy as a mother, or if I can teach my brother from a very young age, that listen, it's okay for you to have that emotional contact or that emotional breakdown with yourself. It's okay. But however, bouncing back from that, you gotta understand that instead of acting it out ragefully, rather trust the process, see it through. You will eventually get over it.
I know, right?
Yeah, you will eventually get over it. So
even if it doesn't look like that, right?
Even if it doesn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you spoke about the youth, Happy, my passion, the thing that makes me want to wake up every morning and do what I do is because of that deep cry that sits on my heart for tomorrow's society. The generation of tomorrow.
Yeah.
The generation after that. What kind of world are we going to leave for them? What kind of world are they going to step into? What kind of people are they going to become? Is having to educate them now. And that is part of my series, is to focus on areas of the mental being, the emotional being of you as a human being, and mainly the boy child. How can we have this boy child have a transformed mind? I've just told you earlier about my upbringing as to what my dad, you know, made us believe. You don't touch your sister. You touch your sister, I touch you two times as a man, so that you know how that feels. You understand? Even though that was the wrong way of doing it, but in the process, what he was teaching is that love one another, respect one another, be there for each other. But the key thing is love. He taught us how to love. And that is what today's society don't have. Starting off from that age already. Is the love. Because we don't have self-love. And if I grow up in a household whereby I'm not taught love. As a boy. I will definitely be that young man that will seek for it. In the most destructive forms.
In the wrong places.
And in the wrong places.
So what role do we play? Of course, I know we play a huge role. But what role do a mother and a father play in that young boy's life to ensure that he doesn't grow up to be, to add to the statistics of men who are beating up women, men who are womanizing, men who are toxic in the society? What role do we play?
It starts with the mother.
Okay.
It's time that mothers ought to know that there's five languages, five love languages in each and every human being. The most pivotal one and important one for us as a man, even as a boy, is affirmation. A young boy just want to be told. There's a friend of mine that has two little girls and a boy, and the boy is the older one, and she's a single parent as well. We, in fact, go to the same church. And she always says to me,
Daniel, you know, this boy of mine, oh, and he must love his sisters. But she says it with so much frustration and so much worry. And I always say to her, but you have to be so grateful that he's the older one and not the youngest one. You as a mother, you need to teach him mm-hmm. how to treat a woman. But it starts with you as the mother. Mm. You need to teach him the words such as, I love you. Mm. You need to teach him the words such as, I will do it for you without any compensation. You need to teach him the words such as, listen, it's gonna be okay. I am here. For as long as I am here, it's gonna be okay. So you as the mother, you start with those words, inserting those words into his mind to tell him, I'm here as your mother and I believe in you. I entrust in you.
Yeah.
I've got confidence within you.
Yeah.
I can live, even though she knows that, oh my word, I'm putting something on this child that, look, he might just, you understand, break it.
Yeah.
But make him believe that he's capable
mm-hmm.
and able, and do it from a space of love.
Mm.
Once he feels that love, now he knows love, he will be able to transfer that love unto others. Whether it's a friendship relationship that he would have as he's growing up, girlfriend relationship, work relationship, people within society, he would be able to, you know, automatically transfer love.
And once, reciprocate that love.
Yeah, to reciprocate that love. Thank you. So that's where it all needs to start. Our young boys need to be made and understood that love is key. Of course, there will be others that would now sit and think, but okay, wait, Mr. Daniel. But if we teach our boys love, that makes them soft. No.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't. It makes him a human being that would be able to be accountable, not to hurt others.
Mm. And while you are there, something comes up to my mind to say, you know, when a woman has married such a good husband and she knows that this is a good man. His character, the way he's so soft, he's so considerate, the way he's so kind to me, the way he's so involved with the children. Do you know that woman doesn't automatically jump and say, I thank God for his father raising him?
Oh, yes.
She literally says,
the mother.
Thank God for the mother that raised my husband, because she did such a good job with this man.
Right.
He's so compassionate and he's so sensitive to my feelings. So you're saying that and emphasizing on the mother role in the boy child.
Right.
It's profound.
It's very. Look, As a father, my job is, it's perplexed, but my job in a household is not as heavy as a mother's. In a household, it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
All I need to make sure is that this family is provided for,
mm-hmm.
this family is protected.
Yeah.
I am the man that would be able to steer this family in the right direction, given my leadership abilities, given my wisdom, given me living an exemplary life. That's all I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness, it's the mother. Pain, it's the mother.
Mm.
Teaching the child how to walk, it's the mother. When that child starts to speak,
yeah.
It's either, okay, nowadays they say the kids now say papa or they say daddy.
Apparently. Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah. But fine, irrespective. What I'm saying is that any other thing apart from the father's role of having to uphold and protect, any other thing, care is the mother.
Yeah.
And that is what every child needs in their lives of a household or in their journey of life.
Mm.
is the care and the love.
Mm.
So if the mothers can do that pretty well with proper guidance. Because now I know I also need to be careful not to shoot myself in the foot, because now mothers most probably would think, okay, if I give him love, that's good. No. Give him also the disciplined love. Give her also the disciplined love.
Mm-hmm.
Let's love in a manner of discipline for that child to be able to know what is wrong and what is right. They need to know from a young age.
Yeah.
But let them know you are able. You are loved.
Mm-hmm.
You are valued. There's great in you.
You're appreciated.
You are appreciated.
You're not a mistake.
You're not a mistake.
Although you are not playing.
You are not, you are not like that father of your, no.
Oh yeah.
This is my thing that I say happy.
You're just like your father.
Yes. Ooh. This is my thing that I say happy when it comes to women having to raise men.
Yeah.
The man that you, the type of man that you speak to on a daily, that is what your boy, your son, that is what he's going to result into. If you speak with to him with a tone of, you're just like that father of yours, and that's what he's going to become. If you speak to him like, you're such a troublesome child, I don't even know why you're, that's what he's going to become. But if you speak to him with affirmation, with love that comes with discipline, you are going to raise a brilliant individual. A brilliant individual that will be a pioneer of change for society.
Wonderful. Yeah. Whew. That's heavy and that's good. So now let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, and we'll be back with yet more while we still have the time. Of course, our studio line is open should you want to say hi to the mentor in studio. The studio number is 083-288-401. For now, we'll see you after the commercial break and a short musical break as well. Then we'll come to close off. Bye for now.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
I must walk this path alone. Leave behind this pain to see who I become. I'm dreaming, reaching for something better. I'm traveling, finding a new home where the sun shines brighter. I'm crying, grieving, but I won't. A new home where the sun shines brighter. I'm crying.
but I won't be bitter. I'm ready, letting go of what was. I'm getting stronger, I'm getting stronger. Never quit, I won't give in, won't stop till I'm winning. I am a fighter.
We are officially back. We're talking about mentorship and the journey of a mentor. Of course, we are throwing whatever it is that is about society and life itself within this topic. You know what? Because, yeah, mentors are meant to deal with a lot of things. If it's politicians, if it is civil servants, if it is whatever it is. So, yeah, that's what we're doing tonight on this Life Lessons. Now, our studio line is open. You can also come through and ask questions or give your contributions, or perhaps you want to thank the guest in studio that is on 083-288-401. Now, Daniel, you spoke very well about raising up that boy child, okay? And I hope it's sinking in our heads and experience. And I think parenting is definitely no child's play. It's a whole lot of work for those who have kids and especially have more than one child. I do like that which you pulled up, but there's also something that I also wanted to ask, in regards to, children and also raising up children. How does one perhaps maybe as a parent, how does one perhaps also recharge themselves then? Because I think for you to properly raise kids, properly raise a boy child yourself mentally, you must be, at a particular level. I don't have the right words. You do. You tell us.
Very, very good. Very good. Very good. I love the fact of how do you recharge yourself?
Sure. And maybe not just for parenting, for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I was going to, you know, put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Look, every human being, and I again will emphasize on for as long as you live.
Yeah.
Breathe.
Yeah.
In fact, no, the sequence. For as long as you breathe,
mm-hmm.
you're alive,
mm-hmm.
you've got the abilities,
mm-hmm.
physically, mentally, emotionally, okay. you need to have a timeout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to have a timeout. I can't stress that out any bolder than that.
Yeah.
And a timeout does not necessarily mean that now you need to go have a whole full blasted night of grooving and do the most irresponsible things.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much.
For
no, you gotta be in touch with the inner being.
Yeah.
And I'll again say it, Happy. We miss the ball of looking past and ignoring that inner being. So. Time out could necessarily be things like, let's say, Daniel. Daniel is a guy that loves nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel takes himself on a Saturday or Sunday and just go take a walk. We don't even have to go as far as taking a drive to a lodge. See, that's the thing. Whenever we think of having to do things with ourselves, we want to do things that are known. Try something that is not known to you, but then is likable to you.
Mm.
Right? Take a walk. Go take a walk in the bush. Go climb a mountain. Mm. Go hiking. I see nowadays a lot of people, especially during winters now, it's sort of like a lot of boot camps out there, which is actually a very good thing. Taking out their clients for morning, you know, hikings on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And that is good because now you get in touch with that inner being. You're giving that inner being that self-love. You understand? That breath of fresh air that you get when you go up on a mountain. I actually want to encourage all these boot camp owners and instructors and so. Take your people up on a mountain and go make them scream their lungs out.
By climbing up the mountain.
Yeah. Go scream their lungs out. Why? So that all that anger, all that weight, all that frustration, the husband, the kids, this boyfriend, my boss, the work, everything around me, scream it out.
The school.
Yeah, the school. Leave it up on the mountain so that when you do come back, you come back with lighter feet. Refreshed.
Yeah.
Rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Rebirthed. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us that cannot do mountains, you know what is the easiest way? I always say this.
Yeah.
I put on music. For instance, like the moms, send the kids away for a few hours to auntie who auntie would gladly would love to have those kids just to, especially those ones that don't have kids, just to have those kids. Yeah, don't do this. Don't stop. They would love to do that, even as much as they would stress about it. But in that time, you give yourself time of your life. You close your house. Cook yourself your favorite meal that you couldn't cook because now you have to have a certain set menu for the kids because this one don't eat beans. Uh-huh. This one don't eat what. Cook what you like. If you're a wine lover, have yourself a bottle of wine. You understand? But plan these things. Don't also just come out and want to do it.
Yeah.
Then it's not going to work. Plan it. Plan it properly. Sit and watch your favorite. Do you know how many adults out there are actually into animation? Like cartoons, cartoons?
Yeah.
Because we are also having our inner child in ourselves.
That's okay.
Sit and watch that cartoon. Or sit and watch, I like to say this to women, you guys are so eccentric with your senses, your emotional senses. Sit and watch Titanic, even though you have not seen it in decades. Cry over it. That crying helps.
Mm.
See, by the time that those kids get back on a Sunday, mom is filled with so much energy.
Yeah.
Look, you'd be like a robot that's set on a fast track tone.
Mm-hmm.
So the point that I'm making is have self love. And self-love starts with treat that inner being. Most of you women would say, I go for a shopping spree. Okay, now you go for a shopping spree.
Yeah.
After you have shopped, you're not going to like that bill.
That's okay.
Because now you've spent money that wasn't planned for, unless you plan for it and you've budgeted for it.
And even the shopping spree can be exhausting.
It can be exhausting because you can walk around from this. Because you guys make price comparisons anyway, out of a dollar, even a 50 cent. Makes a difference to make it worth my while to walk up and until a shop that is like five meters away from the actual shop where I am now.
Yeah.
So all of that, it still just builds up frustration and pressure. Kick it off.
Yeah. And we have a scheduled commercial break that's coming up shortly. Yeah, so let's go for that and we'll be back shortly.
So when to beer asked Namibia to be real. And we got 500,000 responses from Racina and the other 1,400 who are Crocs with socks. 10,000 peeps like T-Boss, whose nicknames are their real names. And 2,100 with the chops to master a braai like Arnold. It doesn't get more real than that. As Wintuk, the real beer for real people, we recognize the 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Yeah, and we are back. Daniel, I appreciate that. Okay. Now, before I do let you go, because we have now come up to the time to say goodbye to the listeners. And yeah, Daniel, what one thing that you as a mentor would want to be remembered for?
Whoa, Happy, you just didn't do that. Hey, you didn't do
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Well, it's actually quite easy. Okay. I've always said this to people that, you know, my wealth is within my wisdom. Mm-hmm. If I can have out of 1,000 people, 500 have had their lives impacted in a positive way. Yeah. That 500 would have doubled, tripled, and quadrupled. So I want to be remembered mm-hmm. as that man that did not just transform people's lives,
yeah.
but was a pioneer for it. That is what I would want to be. That should be my legacy. That I was able to impact people's lives.
Yeah.
I hope that answers your question.
It does.
Right.
Okay. And now, your closing remarks before we do let you go, as I need to hand over the mic.
Right. Well, look, the likes of myself, Daniel Williams, mentor, motivational speaker, public speaker, training facilitator,
yeah.
trauma healing counselor, mm-hmm. we are out here. I just want to leave this somebody somewhere that sits or lies somewhere in your bed or sitting on your couch or even in your car as you're driving. I want to leave this with you. I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I okay? And that okay should be reflected on your whole entire being. Am I okay?
Yeah.
As I'm sitting here right now, am I okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not okay, please do yourself the favor. 081-47-477-13. That's the line. Just like you would be calling 911, yeah, mm-hmm. the rescue mm-hmm. line.
Yeah.
That's it. 081-47-477-13. Reach out. You're not alone. Let's do this thing together.
Mm. Okay, and now we have come to the closing of this session of Life Lessons this evening. And of course, we had up Daniel Williams. He's a mentorship coach and guiding us through his journey. And of course, pulling up some wisdom in areas that affect us in society. So now tonight, I'll leave you with that, with what Daniel has told you. And I hope it sinks in, and I hope you can make the necessary changes where you need to. You can take a step back and focus on your holiday is coming so that we can recharge our batteries. Now, from Indafa, happy to you. It is good night. I'll see you again next Saturday, same time, same place, for another episode, another insightful episode on Life Lessons. Goodbye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Olum Nangeshifa, Noahara Kushivifa, Oma Kuroe Kupitira Mohorike Radio Station, or your Eagle.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5.
That is 081.
Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elfin Ehagano, The Osherero Omaindurilo, The Catholic Semane Kakaruga, The Africans, Senfuar, Diara, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Umtiha with the Kirotoguna in Matima Ongo. She calls a fat and an anon with a fat yard, she can she wanna. Who am I aware? Or tell me what is a money? And there's a fat even a media of the Tom Banawa or Jita. The Ethanina Omeru, Nidanitoma, yea, you get a fire of the Piramo, it left your media house. We tell the people in her Oka Kumbanga Nina. Kara of Mushikaregi, we look for your more program and get to more and more than your son.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.